In John 7, let's turn to Leviticus 23 first. Leviticus 23. We're going to be in John 7, but I want to look at Leviticus 23 first. As you're turning to Leviticus 23, it says in John 7, now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. This was the Feast of the Tabernacles. And when it got about halfway through this big feast they had, this big 8-day feast, he went up and he taught. God Almighty in human flesh went into an earthly, what we would call church building. And he stood up and he preached. Can you imagine that? This was the Feast of the Tabernacles. They had 7 days of burnt offerings. And our Lord stood up in that place meant for worship, and he taught. He taught. One, that means we need taught. He did it, didn't he? What did he preach? I don't know. It don't tell us what he preached. But I got to thinking, he always showed himself in these scriptures, didn't he? And so I went and looked at this Feast of the Tabernacles, these Feast of the Booths, the Sukkot. I wanted to see what this meant, what was going on at that time. And I thought, I know what I'd preach if this was the text given to me. I got excited. Look here in Leviticus 23, verse 33. Leviticus 23:33. Leviticus 23:33. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak. What's that say? Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this 7th month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. On the first day shall be an holy convocation, and ye shall do no servile work therein. That first day, you're going to show up this Feast of the Tabernacles, I'm telling you, 7th month, 15th day, and the whole first day, you ain't going to lift a pinky finger. You ain't doing nothing. You ain't watering the cattle. You ain't doing nothing. 7 days, verse 36, shall be offered an offering made by fire unto the Lord. On the 8th day shall be an holy convocation unto you. And ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a solemn assembly, and ye shall do no servile work therein. At last day, no work. Nothing. Don't lift a pinky finger. Look down at verse 39, Leviticus 23:39. Also in the 15th day of the 7th month, wherein when ye have gathered in the fruit of the land, ye shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. On the first day shall be a Sabbath, and on the 8th day shall be a Sabbath. You see all that? We came into this world, when this world was established, not when we came in, but when the Lord established this world, there was peace. There was peace. Adam was made on this earth. There was peace. He walked with Adam in the Garden of Eden. What a thought. The Lord spoke with him. They had communion. There was peace. There was rest. After that fall, there's been nothing but 7 days of fire. 7 days of perfect destruction of us. But in that 7 days of perfect destruction, our Lord came. Christ came. On that Feast of the Tabernacles, he stood up and talked. What do you think he preached? He's the sacrifice. He's the 7 days of sacrifice. He's the perfect sacrifice. And what do we get? Communion with God. We have rest at the end. Eternal rest. We've been made one with the God we offended because of him, because of Christ, our sacrifice in these 7 days, in this perfection. It says down in verse 42, Leviticus 23:42, you shall dwell in booths, that's tents, and tabernacles, 7 days. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths. All those of the family, those born of the heart. He told Nicodemus, you must be born again. How are you going to be a child of Israel, a spiritual child of God? You must be born again. And we're going to dwell in tents, in booths, in tabernacles. Verse 43, that your generations may know. We're going to do all this thing in the physical realm. It's what they're doing here when our Lord walked in John chapter 7. That your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. You're going to know that I did it. You were at peace with God. You destroyed it willfully. You were conceived in sin. You walked this whole world in sin. You practiced with sin. And Christ made peace between God and man. He's our high priest. He's our prophet, the one that told us about it. He's our king. We wouldn't have it no other way. He brought us out of the land of Egypt. He's our God. And Moses declared unto the children of Israel the feast of the Lord. That's what the Feast of Tabernacles was. And you're going to keep this every year. Everybody's going to go there. And our Lord went. Why? You had to go there. I had to go there. He went. And he preached himself. I don't know if that was his text. I don't know. That's what I found. I'd preach him if I had this text. If I had to go to this tabernacle, I'd preach him. That's what he taught. Now back in our text here in John 7. John chapter 7. John 7 says in verse 14, now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews, who's that? That's the religious folks. You know, I've heard that. I dwelled on that a long time. I've heard that my whole life. Other people haven't heard that their whole life. When I think of that, that's religious folks. That's the religious folks of the day. If somebody said, we got some religious folks coming and they're going to have a picnic with you, I go, ugh. I don't like it. I've been told from birth that this is bad. That ain't who we need to be around. This is bad things. And the Jews, the religious folks, they marveled. They marveled. Christ got up and spoke. And these high-minded religious folks, these squeaky clean people that walk around grinning like possums eating light bulbs in our community, they think they're just so good. They heard him and they marveled. Oh, we're right there. What'd they marvel at? Saying, he knoweth, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? Is it going to do you any good to be around a religious person? Is it going to do you any good to be around a preacher? That's a preacher. He's ordained. That's some governing body dictated him that he's something special. You think it do you good to be around him? These great high-minded minds of Israel at the time, that they heard God Almighty in human flesh preach. And they said, how can he know how to read? He knows shape letters. How'd he learn that? We know him. That's a carpenter's son. He's just some poor old carpenter. He's a blue-collar worker. How can he read? How did he know Leviticus? How did he know where to turn? How did he know how to say these things? They didn't marvel at what was preached. They didn't marvel at the purpose of this feast that they were at. Why are you here? You're here for 8 days. Christ got up and told you why. Him. He's why you're here. They didn't marvel at that. They didn't marvel at all the illustrations the Lord used. They didn't marvel at the parables he spoke. They didn't marvel at the pictures he talked about. They marveled that that one preaching to them knew how to read. How could he know Leviticus if that's what he preached from? He didn't go to our Christian preschool. Knock that religious junk off. Time's short. If I go out and shake everybody in this county, I'd say, all these religious radio stations you listen to, it's hogwash, and all this good deeds you think you're doing, putting your kids through Christian school, I'd slap them up both sides of the face and say, knock it off, stop. Bow to God. That's who you need to hear about who God is, who man is. Leave it alone. They didn't go to our Christian preschool. He didn't go to a Presbyterian grade school. He didn't go to a Pentecostal middle school. He didn't attend Saint So-and-So High. He hasn't been to our seminaries. People think that's weird. That's weird. Okay, well, are you a pastor here? Yeah. Was you pastor in another church you came here? Uh-uh. No, I'm here. And I ain't going nowhere. That's weird. Would you just come out of seminary? Mm-mm. No, I didn't go to seminary. That's weird. What'd you do? Affixed ice machines? That's so strange. This one was a carpenter. Did you see the foolishness? In our day, people want these titles and this high society living and these uppity to-dos with one another. Our Lord was a carpenter. And he worked hard. And then he entered the ministry. He began his public ministry. Our Lord answers. They ask this question, how can he do this? How can he know these things? And he answers it. He gives us an answer. Aren't you excited about that? Verse 16. Then Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but he that sent me. My doctrine, my message that I preach, it's not mine, but it's he that sent me. It's the Lord's doctrine. How you know all these things? Where'd you come up with such an idea like that? He says it's God Almighty's doctrine. Now, I don't want people to try to make excuse and discredit the word of the Lord. And we know that this is God the Son. This is Almighty God in human flesh. And we know that God the Son, God the Spirit, and God the Father are one. He said, I and my Father are one. This is His doctrine. It's His work. We know that. But here, our Lord's speaking as that prophet, capital P, prophet, Son of God. He's in His incarnate form. What's that mean? He come down here and was a man and walked this earth. As our representative, that's how He's speaking. He came as the God-man in human flesh, that eternal prophet, that eternal priest, that eternal king. And the Word says, it's not the thoughts of a mortal. That's what He's talking about. This ain't my opinion. This ain't something I scrounged up. I come up with that. That's not what He's saying. He said, this is God's message. This doctrine's the Lord's. It says in verse 17, if any man will do His will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. If any man will you? If any man will, if you'll be saved, you'll do His will. You're going to know doctrine, and you're going to know whether it's God's doctrine or if it's just a man's doctrine. Verse 18, he that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. What's that mean? Either promoting themselves or preaching what people want to hear. I think I'm going to get up tonight. I know so-and-so will like to hear that. That'll make them happy. Or I can't say that. That might offend so-and-so. That happens everywhere, all across this nation, across this world, throughout time. People get up and they're too afraid to say something to hurt somebody's feelings, or they think they got to say something to keep somebody entertained. Old Brother Don preached in a conference one time, and afterwards of men that were sitting around that had preached in the conference. One said, I wished I could preach like you. And he didn't mean, I wish I could stand up and speak the way you speak, or I could explain a point the way you could explain it. What he meant was, I wish I could get up and say what you said about that gospel. And Don said, I know why you can't. And he pulled his wallet out and he laid it on the counter. Right there is why you won't do it. You're afraid the well will dry up. You're afraid of money. They'll cut you off. And no word was said. He hid him where he lived, didn't he? Those people worry about preserving their own glory, seeking their own good. It says at the end of verse 18, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, that great John the Baptist, the greatest man ever born of Adam that walked this earth. He said, who are you? I'm a voice. Nobody. You know how long he knew the Lord? When in the womb, he'd just kick and go on. She couldn't be around Mary, and cousins couldn't be together. That baby go crazy. Always excited to serve his God. And he said, there's one that comes after me. I'm not worthy to untie his shoe latches. He's younger than I am. I'm just a voice. He that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in that one. Our gospel. If we're seeking God's glory and not our own, it did not originate with us. It's His gospel. It doesn't promote us, it promotes Him. It's not secured by us or by you or anybody else. It's secured by Him. That's the gospel. Paul told us that. He said, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Well, he's close. I say it, Paul, they're cursed. Let him be cursed. Lord, rebuke him. Lord, deal with them. Stop it. Quit lying to folks. This is an eternal matter. This ain't horseshoes. This ain't hand grenades. Close don't count. He said, let them be accursed. This gospel, it's God's gospel. It glorifies God. It's the gospel of Christ. And we don't preach it from ourselves. It's not from my standpoint, my opinion. It's not about ourselves, and it's not for ourselves. So for Christ's sake, we're your servants. For your servants. Let him have the glory. Well, what about Kevin? Lord, take care of Kevin. I ain't worried about that. He's fed me my whole life. He'll keep feeding me until he sees fit not to. I'm here to preach his gospel. Tell you what he says. But I want to focus in real quickly on verse 17. It says, if any man will, if any man will do his will. That's open to everybody. If he will, do his will. He shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. If anybody will anybody? I thought of him speaking to that man at the by the pool. And he said, will you be made whole? Boy, there's a whole lot goes to that. This ain't just an ice cream sandwich we're buying in passing. There's some cost to it. There's some sacrifice to it. This is going to be your life. Will you? Will you be saved? Will you do His will? If you really want to know God, know His will, know His redemption, know of His grace. If you really want to know about God's mercy, if you want to know about His purpose in eternity, His will, you will. If you really want to, earnestly. If you have a heart in you that desires to know God, you'll know Him. And you'll know the difference between someone preaching Christ and someone preaching man. You'll know the difference. It ain't going to take a sleuth. It ain't going to put your detective hat on a monocular to try to figure it out. You'll know. You say, that ain't right. What's wrong with it? I don't know, but I don't like it. Ugh. And you'll get goosebumps. And I'm going to go market and leave that alone. That's bad. It's like you find bad meat in a grocery store. Do you sit and just analyze that meat? Let's smell it some more. Let's poke it. Can I taste it a little bit? That's bad meat. I want to taste it. No, you don't. You say, that's bad. Throw it away. Give me that good meat. That's what you go for, don't you? We understand that. These Jews did not. They were hung up on Christ's ability to read, on his ability to stand up and read the Scriptures. Does anyone really want to know what God's will is? They want to do God's will. What is it? What's doing the will of God? Look back in chapter 6, verse 28, one page over. John 6, 28. John 6, 28. Then they said unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? We want to do his work. We want to do his will. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. Believe on his son. Believe on his son. What does that result in? If you believe on the Son, if you're willing to be saved and do the will of the Father, what's that mean? Believe on the Son. You believe on Christ. What's that result in? What happens when that happens? Turn back to John 3, just a couple pages. John 3, 36. The apostle writes here in John 3, 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. If any man will do his will, what's that? Believe on his Son. What's the result of that? If you believe on the Son, you hath everlasting life. What's the opposite of that? He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Well, now, so-and-so was real sweet. You either believe on the Son or you don't. You kiss the Son or you spit on him. You're either at peace with God Almighty because of what Christ did in your heart, or you're at war with Him. It's one or the other. Time's drawing near. Time's drawing near. I went from 32 to 42 that fast. Did you? Most of y'all older than I am. Half of you anyway. It goes quick, don't it? Time's a-coming. We either do the will of God, believe on His Son, have life, or we don't. Or we don't. A crazy lunatic does not want something better than what they already have. Whether it's a bicycle. Would you like to have a better bicycle that's not as broke as your bicycle? Well, yeah. That's right, doesn't it? More money and less pain. Wouldn't a sane person want that? Would you like to have more benefit and less grief? Wouldn't you like to have more better days, more sunny days and less rainy days? We understand that, don't we? But do I? Do you really want to serve the Almighty God of Scripture? And do you want to do it on His terms? Oh, now this is a who. This ain't the God of our imagination. This is the Almighty God of Scripture. And we're going to serve Him. Do we want to do His will on His terms? On His terms? Have Him dwell in us? Take up His abode in us? Have Him reign over us and in us? Have Him order all things, sustain all things, good or bad, no matter what we think of it. And the whole time, either good or bad, either on a mountaintop or a valley, we put all of our trust on Him to do so. A person can believe in a sovereign God and still think they're holier than God. They say, oh, that check mark of doctrine's right. There's a sovereign God. The demons believe that, didn't they? Listen to people talk. My old man thinks he's a better decision maker than God is. Well, I wouldn't have done, why is this happening? That shouldn't happen. That ought not happen. This couldn't be happening. We ought to do this way. This should have happened this way. Old writer wrote, the child of God's life is a bed of roses, thorns and all. Thorns and all. It is, isn't it? Boy, it's roses. It smells like roses. But it ain't nothing but thorns, too. That comes with it. It ain't just rose petals, is it? Do I really want to do the will of God? Do I really want to be saved? Well, how can we know? How can I know if I'm one of them people that truly, is this what mommy and daddy said my whole life and I just get on board? I vote the way they vote. I buy groceries from the place they buy groceries and I go to church where they go to church. Is that just something I do? Am I really one of them that want to do the will of God? I want to. I got a few questions I can ask and I can show you what those people that really do want to serve God, what they see, what they think, what happens to them. It's pretty common. First one, a person who really wants to do the will of God is serious about it, and they seek a person. They seek a person. Turn over to Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29. Someone that will do the will of God, that will be saved, they seek a person. They don't seek a denomination. They don't seek a theology. They don't seek a feeling. And they don't seek an experience. They don't call back to those things. Well, I know I'm saved because because this happened, or because I was baptized, because I said a confession of faith, or I filled out a card when I was 14. No, they're seeking a person. Can I back it up Scripture? Is that what God says? Is that my opinion? Is that my gospel? Or is that God's gospel? Look here in Jeremiah 29, verse 11. 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. What? That comes first. You see that? We read that verse 11 before we read verse 12. God has these thoughts towards His people. Verse 12, then shall ye call upon me. Then shall ye go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me. And find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord. And I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. Those people that find the Lord, that He causes to come out of all nations, what was they looking for? It wasn't a what, it was a who. You see how many times it says me. Go through it later on, read that again, underline them, highlight them or something. And how did all that start? How did all that start that we seek Him? He knows His thoughts to us. Oh, isn't that precious? We ain't going to mess that up. He's put His whole heart into it. Did you know that? That's what we read before service started. He put His whole soul into it. God Almighty put His whole heart into saving His people. We're seeking a person. The Lord told us that seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. His righteousness. And all these things be added to you. Don't you worry about these other things. This is serious. That woman with the issue of blood, she must touch His garment. Don't matter how many fingers she gets stepped on. Don't matter if she breaks a wrist. It's Christ or death. I got to touch Him or I'm dying. Blind Bartimaeus cried out, hush, you be quiet. God's walking through town. And he cried the louder. I don't care what you think. It's Almighty God. I need to talk to Him. I need Him to talk to me. I need Him to have mercy on me. All those that come to our Lord in this manner, He dealt with tenderly. He dealt with in compassion, didn't He? He didn't turn them away. All those that came to Him in a haughty attitude, in righteous positions, you know what? I just know some things, and it'd be good if you knew them. I'm going to teach you some things. What do you call them? A generation of vipers. Generation of vipers. A person who really wants to know God, they will. They're going to know a person, and they're going to know something of the value of their soul. This isn't a potential eternal punishment, eternal death and damnation. This isn't a 10-year stint at Chino. You understand that? It's something like, well, I'd really not rather do that, but we'll get through it. You know, we'll get some calling cards, write some letters, and I might get me a college degree out of it. No, this ain't it. It's eternal death. It's eternity, and it concerns us, concerns you, concerns me. We understand something about that. Lord told us in Mark 8, He said, for what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? We have something to lose. All mankind does, don't they? And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both the body and soul in hell. A person that truly wants to know Christ, have him as our life, they realize that he is life. I have a soul to lose, and I need him. I need him. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 9 real quick. I meant to warn you, we was going to turn a lot. I'll try to go quick. Hebrews chapter 9. We have a soul to lose, and we need him. We don't need this world or titles or respect from other human beings. We don't need positions. Things like that, that ain't vital. Us having a sandwich to eat and a roof over our head and clothes on our back, that really ain't vital. That's vital to this old body, this body, old I. But for this soul that's in me, Christ is vital. Christ is vital. Look here at Hebrews 9, verse 27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die. I want to have a series of messages, hopefully, common phrases we quote. And I want to see the context of them. And, well, forgive you, brother, 70. Lord, increase our faith. Why would we say that? Because God told him to forgive you, brother, 70 times. Said, forgive him infinity. And that said, I need more grace to do that. I need mercy. He said, Lord, increase our faith. You have to believe God to forgive you, brethren. I can't forgive my brethren. You don't believe God. You ain't got to, Lord, that gave you the faith to do so yet. That's faith, isn't it? We always say, we know there's a time appointed unto men once for them to die. But after this, the judgment. I know I got to physically die. You know you got to physically die. That's coming. Anybody knows that. I'm here, and there's going to be a time I ain't here. But after this, that's what I'm worried about. That's why this whole world is turned upside down. That's why people are scared of everything above them, below them, on the sides of them, what's going on, turn on the news. Oh my gosh, what's that? They're scared to death because they're afraid of after this. After this, it's written in our hearts. Mankind knows that. There's a judgment coming. We're going to have to deal with the God we offended. A person that don't know these things, and wherever South America, they don't want to die. This sure is why God says so. Because after this is a judgment. A person is earnest, and they seek a person. They understand they have value of a soul, and it's eternal life. And they never get tired of seeing the majesty and the holiness of Christ. Are we really seeking to do His will? Over in Revelation 15, it says, and they sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and they sang the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. You're the only one holy. God Almighty is holy. Well, Kevin, we know that. What's something we can do? Bow to the Son, praise Him because He's holy. Well, ain't there something else? Well, that's what eternity is going to be wrapped up in. We're going to be saying how perfect and majestic that Lamb of God is. Holy, holy, holy. Look at Him. All praise to Him. Well, ain't there something else? Not in glory there ain't. There's Christ and praising Him. That's wonderful to a believer. Good. That's what I want it to be. Well, what is anybody going to see me doing it? No. Your voice is going to bleed right in for everybody else. They won't even know you're there. You won't care. Cry out. That's the Lord. Praise Him. They don't get tired. They don't get old. To those that serve the Lord. Those that will be saved. Would you be saved? Is that all right for Him to have all the glory forever and ever and ever? Really? Not forever for 45,000 years and then, well, you'll get a year after that. No. For eternity. Him alone. Those that want to do the will of God, to believe on Him, in Him, from Him, believe to Him, His Son, they're always aware of their inability. Are you willing for that to happen? I know in this wicked birth and our wicked nature and the practice, I'm not willing. I'm not able. The Lord said, you won't come to me that you have life. No man can come to me except the Father draw him. We know those things. Turn over to Psalm 51 real quick. Psalm 51. Here's what David wrote about it. If we know, if someone don't know that they're completely and totally unable to do anything for themselves in salvation, they're deceived. They're deceived. They think they're any good in them or any good in anybody else. They're deceived. John told us. He said, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Scriptures tell us, if we say we have not sinned, we make God a liar and His word's not in us. Is so-and-so really not that bad? Calling God a liar? Psalm 51, verse 1. Here's what David wrote. He knew from his birth and in his nature and everything he did, he is a sinner. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According to the multitudes of thy mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, this ain't nothing new. I was shapen in iniquity, and in my sin did my mother conceive me. That's all I am. Without Christ, I'm nothing from conception to the grave, sin. Not I did sin, I am sin. That's all I am. Somebody that wants to, is willing to be saved, somebody that's willing to serve the true and living God, they'll know that. That's what I am. Outside of Him, I deserve death. God needs to be just. He's just to slay me. Someone truly willing to know God, to do His will, to serve Him, they're earnest about finding a person. And this ain't a game to them. This is eternal life and death. They never get tired of hearing how holy and majestic God is, and it doesn't hurt their feelings, and they enjoy hearing a believer who's equally as grass as they are here. All flesh is grass. That's right. Man ain't nothing. We're just dust. All flesh is grass. Amen. No one can come to me except the Father draws him. Amen. I must be made willing. I must be made willing in the day of His power. It's going to take the power of God to make me willing. Amen. Make me willing, Lord. I am willing today. Lord, make me willing. I want to do Your will. Someone that truly wants to do the will of God, they know that they have to be represented by somebody else. I'm wicked. God's holy. This is serious. This is too serious for me to handle. I got to have an advocate. I got to have someone represent me, stand in my place. What's that? I have to have a substitute. In what area? Everything. Absolutely everything. I must have help from outside of me. Outside of man. Outside of somebody else. I'm not a priest. When we hand out the elements, I sit down, I don't look up. I don't need to see them things. I don't handle the money. I don't need to see them things. I'll pray to God. I'll petition Him for you, but my prayers ain't no different than somebody else's. I don't have like a direct line. You ought to hear the nonsense people say to me. I mean, horrible, blasphemous, just rude things people say. Oh, you must be doing the good work. And there's doing God's will. You got a direct line to God. That's blasphemy. Hush that. Knock it off. Will you pray for this? Pray for that? Pray for this? Pray. You pray for it. I'll pray for you. How about that? You pray for me, I'll pray for you. That's what we'll do praying for. That's what David wrote too in Psalm 121. I will lift up mine eyes to the hill from whence cometh my help. Is this some mountain? Do we have to look to Sinai? Or what are we looking at? Is there... My help coming from the Lord. I need help. Where are we going to get that help? Him. Isn't that what we started with? A person? It ends with a person. That's who starts it. That's who finishes it. If I really want this, if somebody really, really wants Him, if they want salvation, they want to do the will of God. If they will do the will of God, they'll find it. If you truly want to, you'll find it. Where does one who can help come from? comes from the mountain. God told the mountain, comes from the Lord. The one who God, the whole Godhead dwells in a body. That's one God sent. That's manifest in the person and the work of His dear Son, Christ Jesus our Lord. That's our help. That's it. The Lord sent Him. We read Genesis 3, that's the seed of woman that's going to come. The Lord purposed to send Him. He provided Him. In Genesis 22, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord provide. How are we going to know about it? There, Deuteronomy 18, He said, I'll raise up a prophet, capital P. This is the prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee. And I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. What did he say in John 7? This ain't my doctrine, it's God's doctrine. What's he quoting? Deuteronomy. He's fulfilling all the scriptures. Isn't that it? And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. God Almighty preached to those poor Jews, those religious folks. And they said, how did he learn how to read like that? Isn't he just a carpenter? God says, I'll require it of him. Someone who earnestly has a desire to do God's will, to be saved, to know eternity is coming. They know what a wretch they are at birth. They know what a wretch they are in nature right now and in practice right now. Right now. And they don't get haughty and they don't get uppity and they don't instruct everybody else they know it. God shut them up to their sin. They know the Lord in heaven and earth is right. He's right to judge me as I am, and we plead to Him. He's holy. We don't get tired of hearing it. And to approach that holy God, we must have a representative. We must have a mediator. And that's Christ our representative, Christ our mediator. And all this takes place on God's terms. We're okay with that. You okay with that? Naaman wouldn't. Naaman, that leper, God hadn't worked in him yet. And he went down there, and he went up to this shack, and a servant went in and said, hey, this head general's out here. He's got leprosy. You need to come heal him. Our king sent us word to your king, and your king told us to come down here. You're the prophet. Come handle it. And Elisha didn't even get out of his easy chair. He sent a little servant boy out there and said, go tell big old mighty general. Go dip into Jordan 7 times. Go dip into Jordan 7 times. He got mad. Well, I thought, don't think about God's word. He said, well, I thought he'd come out here, and I brought all his horses, and I brought all his chariots, and I brought all his gold to give him, and all these nice things to give him. And I thought he'd come out here and talk to me personally. And he'd come talk, that's Balaam and Naaman, wasn't it? And that some unnamed poor servant said, Master, if he'd have told you to do some great thing or take a city, wouldn't you have done it? He said, yeah. He said, we got nicer rivers where we come from. He said, he just told you to go dip in the Jordan. Why don't you believe him? Do what God says. Do what his prophet tells you. So I went and dipped. Guess what? He's clean. Will you? You have come off that big old shiny white stallion you're riding. Leave all them chariots behind you. Leave all that gold behind you. Leave all that status. Ooh, and titles and names. And go get down a nasty old river. Why? God said so. He said, that's good enough for me. It's going to be on his terms. Is that good enough for you? God said, the only way you're going to be saved, you're going to have life. This is his will. It's to believe on his son. To believe on the son. Bow to the son. Believe what he says. And he says, his words, I'll require it of you if you don't believe him. What he says. Oh, the words and the promises of God. Aren't they amazing? For his people. There is salvation. People say, I don't like the way that's organized. Don't like it then. I love it. I wouldn't have it no other way. Amen. Yes, Lord, do it. I'm nothing holy. Allow me to worship your son. I say allow. That don't mean that I have the ability to, and God's restraining me, and I'm just primed to worship him. And as soon as he opens the door, I can run out and worship like crazy. That means give me a heart that wants to worship him. Give me a mind and a tongue that can worship him. Accept the worship because of him. And keep me worshiping him. And make me thankful to worship him. That's what I mean by that. By allowing me to worship. Will you? Will you be saved? Will you throw away all that dung? Is it dung? Or is that, well, we'll keep this one off. Throw it away. Bow to him. Bow to the Son. Amen. All right, Brother Mike, if you'll come lead us in the song.